I should mute it. You're muted now, Barry.
Probably best for everyone. Well, shalom, everyone. Lovely to see you again. And yes, apologies for last week for those of you who were trying to get on. But thankfully, we're back again this week, and we are looking at again, we're looking at this whole theme of my house shall be a house of prayer. And last time we were together, we were looking at a portion from Lance Lambert's book called the same thing, My House Shall Be a House of Prayer. And we're going to look at a little bit. So that the last time we looked at this whole idea of supplications, and then we tried to put it into action. And I think to some degree, the Lord was speaking to us, so it was good. And we're thankful that we're learning together. And some of us, I know, are at different stages on this journey of learning to pray. Some of us have a lot of experience. Some of us, like myself, don't have as much. But I think most of us here have an appetite to learn more from our Lord, and that's why we're here. And why we're here. And if we make some mistakes tonight, that might just happen. And we will. I trust we'll be gracious with one another. We're all on the same side. I trust we're all seeking the Lord's glory. We're all seeking His name. We're seeking His kingdom. So therefore, as we work to that end, let's have grace for one another, and let's support one another. Let's help one another on this journey. So this evening we're looking. So as I mentioned last time, supplications. That comes about because of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And it talks about, you could maybe say, four types of prayers. Supplications, thanksgivings, intercessions, and prayers. And we've looked at supplications, which, as just a very quick recap, was thinking about, was entreating the Lord, was really seeking Him for His will about a particular situation, so that we know how to pray. And this is one of the key things that Lance wanted to stress in his book. I think he said it was one of the most fundamental things in prayer. And it was something we sought to do last time. And I think we will do it, Lord willing, tonight as well, as also think about intercessions. So the way I hope it will work tonight, or the way I've got it in my mind to work, is that I'll read this little portion. It's only a couple of pages from Lance's book. If you don't have a copy, don't worry, I will read it. I'll try and read it a little bit slowly, so that maybe you can try and grasp what it said. And then what we will do is we'll just spend maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes just talking about it. If whatever comes to your mind, whatever you want to say about it, if you want to ask any questions, or if we want to just pursue any aspects of it, that's fine. And then we will hopefully maybe about 8:15, around that time, we'll open up with prayer so that we can put this into practice. This is about being practical. It's great to talk theory, but we've got to practice this if we're going to learn. So that's the aim. So let me read from Lance's book, My House Shall Be a House of Prayer. If you have got a copy, it's on my version, it is page 17, and I'm reading through to page 19. And the chapter title is called The Character of Corporate Prayer. And this section is entitled Intercessions. Okay. So the third aspect of prayer is translated by the English word intercessions. The word used here has the idea of petitioning a superior, a king, a magistrate, or a prince, someone with authority. Originally, the idea was that you petitioned a superior. That is probably why the New American Standard Bible uses the word petitions instead of intercessions. The idea is to petition someone who has authority to accomplish matters. We are seeking the presence of God on behalf of others or for situations in which we are all involved. However, to use the word petitions instead of intercessions, I think devalues the original meaning. Intercession is the deepest aspect of prayer and the least experienced. There are few companies of God's people who know much about corporate intercession. Why? The reason is that intercession is not merely a few words mouthed on behalf of a situation, even if it is with great feeling and passion. In fact, our whole being has to be involved, spirit, soul, and body. It requires that the intercessor be a living sacrifice. If you would be an intercessor, God will require every single thing that belongs to you. Your whole being, your time, your energy, your health, and even your possessions. God will take everything. Never devalue the word intercessor. It is not that one gives a half hour or an hour a week or even daily, as if that is all the Lord requires. To be an intercessor, the Lord requires you and all that you have. For this reason, Daniel is the greatest illustration of this in the Old Testament. He did pray daily and give time to intercession in his very busy life at the top level of government. However, the real key to his intercession was the fact that he was a living sacrifice and wholly committed to the Lord. Intercession can only begin when we know the mind and will of God in any situation which we face. When the Lord revealed to Moses that he was about to destroy the nation of Israel, it became the cause for the intercession of Moses for the nation. When the Lord had decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and shared it with Abraham, it became the cause for the intercession of Abraham for Lot and his family. If we understand this, then we begin to realize how important supplication or inquiry of the Lord is to intercession. We can only intercede when we know what the will of the Lord is concerning any situation. It is possible that in writing this, many will give up all hope of ever being an intercessor or being involved in corporate intercession. Do not faint or give up on this matter. The Lord has to start, and he starts with a person who is ready to offer themselves willingly and wholly. There's a Chinese proverb which states, "A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step." We have to take the first step in faith. Once a believer is prepared to be an intercessor and offers his or her whole being to the Lord, he will lead you step by step. He will lead you firmly and strongly, just as you are able. It will be first from the kindergarten of prayer into the kindergarten of intercession, then into the preparatory school, on into the high school, and finally into the university of intercession. Intercession requires some degree of spiritual maturity. That kind of spiritual maturity comes only with spiritual growth and experience, and develops in a person whose self-life has been laid down. I'm going to stop there. You just put up your hand if you've got a copy in front of you of this book, just so I know. Betty has. Great. So it's about 4 or 5 of you. Great. 6. Great. Fantastic. Right. So let me just pray, and then we're going to open this up for people to just comment on what we've just read. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for drawing us together again Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord. Oh, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is interceding on our behalf at your right hand. Father, this evening we want to join him, Lord, in interceding for the things upon your heart. So, Father, as we discuss this now, as we pray later, Father, we're asking you, we're trusting you to lead us in prayer, to guide us, that we may know your heart and your mind and your will on the matters for which we pray. And Father, we trust you to inspire those prayers, to fill them, to empower them, to give life to them. That, Father, we would see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, come and lead us now. We are willing to be led. Give us ears to hear what you are saying, and give us a sensitive spirit, gentle, humble, that we would listen to one another, that we would learn from one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. Well, let me just open the floor now. So we've read that. I appreciate we've just read it through once. Just pausing. Can you hear me? Okay. Am I breaking up a little? Apologies. Bear with me, please. Okay. Don't know if you caught that, but let's just open the floor now. So for anyone who wants to comment on what's been read, please feel free to do so.
It's interesting that the third paragraph, the first line says, intercession can only begin when we know the mind and will of God in any situation we face. And the last sentence of the same paragraph says, we can only intercede when we know what the will of the Lord is concerning any situation. And it's true. I mean, obviously, that to me implies that we need to be familiar with God's word, because they're is his revealed world. And once we start perhaps spreading things before the Lord and praying, we might hone in on knowing more definitely which way he would have us go. But we must have, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you then. Yeah, I suppose we focused on that whole idea of seeking his will last time, which is absolutely fundamental. I think we, as I said, mentioned earlier, I think when we were praying afterwards, for me anyway, I sensed the Lord was speaking to us on how to pray for a certain situation. So, yeah, Lynn, that's a great point, and something which, you know, we're sort of looking at something in isolation, and prayer is a lot of things. So knowing how to pray, or knowing what to pray for from the Lord, is absolutely key. Absolutely key.
Yeah, and that involves just putting aside our own ideas and all the rest of it, which at times is pretty difficult, because we tend to think we've got, you know, a few clues as to which direction we should be going, but we may be completely off center.
That's a very, very good point, Christian. I think of quite a subtle one in some ways, because there is often this idea that you, especially if you have some knowledge about the situation, to think you know exactly how to pray for something. And that can, I suppose, bias us in some ways of that's what I think we need to pray for. And it may be, but I think that's that what listening is such a key part. Just listening and trusting God to speak. You know, sometimes I'm guilty of saying, well, we're going to listen now, and perhaps I don't really believe he's going to speak. But we find, and I think I've shared this before, but I found with as we've been praying as a family, in the evenings, we've set aside time when some of the littlest ones are in bed, and we've together as a family with the children praying, and I've been amazed at what God has said to them. You know, just giving them scripture references, which they have no idea what it says until they look it up. And the words have been so apt for the situation. It's been, I mean, for them, you know, it's been a wonderful thing for them to see God speaking to them. And we've spent that time listening and allowing God just to speak, and trusting him is the key, is trusting him to speak. And he so often does.
It's an example that you've just given of that childlike trust.
Yeah, they seem to hear far, far easier than I do. It's great. It's so wonderful to see it.
He's really telling us to be like that. It's like giving ourselves wholly. It's only that we're prepared to just give over what we might think, or give over what we might feel, and be prepared to just trust in the Lord.
I think the Lord just longs to have fellowship with us. You know, he longs to have time with us and communicate with us. And I don't think we realise that sometimes, or if at all, maybe, that it gives him pleasure, because that's why he made us, really, wasn't it? To have fellowship. And so to actually spend time with him, it's mutual, you know, mutually beneficial, you know, so that we're hearing him, he's hearing us, and we can enjoy that relationship. Like Moses and David and Abraham, you know, they talked to God, isn't, you know, they had a real fellowship with him, you know. I mean, more than fellowship, it was a friendship, wasn't it, really? I think it's good to maybe think a bit about that aspect, you know, that God, he's longing to spend time with us, more time. And how much time are we willing to give him? I mean, he knows we've got things to do and jobs and everything. And I think Jesus was so busy, but he still found time, didn't he, to go even spend the whole night with his father.
Thanks, Elizabeth. I just wanted to talk about a wee bit that was on here that's being an intercessor. It says God will require every single thing that belongs to you. Just wonder if anyone had any thoughts or comments on what that might mean in the context of intercessory prayer.
That's a very personal question.
Okay.
I was going to say, well, it's the obvious. Turn the television off and wait on the Lord and read your word. So, I mean, there's the things that are all too obvious, which is putting the Lord first in your life and putting, you know, other things, leaving other things aside.
Okay.
I think perhaps when he talks about Daniel here, he said, however, the real key to his intercession was the fact that he was a living sacrifice and wholly committed to the Lord. And that just made me think about Jesus, and he was the actual sacrifice. And the more we spend time with the Lord, then he's preparing us to perhaps have that same mindset that nothing else really matters apart from what his plans are for us and for the world. But he does also say further on about we're in the kindergarten, and I, you know, as we're reading that, I think, well, I've failed my 11 plus, I think, so I have to go and retake it. it's a lifetime's recommitment, I think. I don't think it's a once and for all. I think it's a, yes, this is really hard. And because if you're really seeing things with the Lord's eyes, you must be so pained at the moment with what's going on that, you know, sometimes that's a heavy burden. So we don't carry that burden, we pass that burden on. But even so, if we feel that you can get weary, you can get worn down. You're not physically tired, but you're worn down. And then you have to go to the Lord because he renews your strength. But it's that continuum. It's not a once and only, I am an intercessor. It's almost beyond your control.
Really?
I think there are some things that almost can't be expressed when it comes to some of the deep places you go with intercession. And the cost, what you give up, and the things God calls you to do. And it's, I listened to, I bought a set of CDs of an intercessory meeting that happened in Los Angeles in the 1980s during the height of the charismatic movement. It was the most amazing set of CDs I've ever listened to. Some really wacky charismatics talking about the things they did in intercession. And sadly, I lent it to someone and I never got it back. But it was really, really interesting. And they basically were themselves. They just were completely unique. Each person who spoke was completely Californian in a unique way. And it really set me free to be myself with the Lord, be completely individual and just not rely on what I thought was right or what other people did, or, you know, Reese Howell or whoever, but just to trust the Lord to be what he is, who he is with me, and to be willing to go places with him that is unique for me. And it's completely transformed my prayer life, because I've been able to say, well, this is okay because this is unique for me. And, you know, it may not appear in a book on prayer. I used to have about a yard of books on prayer, and I'd start reading them and I think, oh, this is completely and utterly wrong for me. I can't possibly bear this book. And, you know, I'd got about through the first page and or few pages of most of these books, and just, you know, one of them might be entirely on liturgy and another one be entirely on, you know, whatever, it just completely wrong for me. And in the end, I thought, well, I'm no good at prayer. But when I realized that God's calling me to be me, it's just totally set me free. So I think what I'm saying is, when I discovered that God wants me to be me in prayer, it changed everything. But the difficulty is that all of this is personal, private prayer. And I haven't really, well, I do lead a men's prayer meeting, but they mostly want to fellowship. And when, you know, I've been trying to, desperately trying to get more intercession into the meetings, but they, none of them have really caught the vision. Well, one person has. So we always end up tacking on 10 minutes of prayer at some point in the meeting. And it, I just leave feeling totally dissatisfied because I really, really want to, you know, have a decent hour of intercession, and it just doesn't happen because then no one else has caught the vision. So I don't really know what corporate intercession looks like because I've not really been able to be part of a group. So that's what I really want to learn from you guys about, is what's the difference between private intercession and corporate intercession? Because I'd love to see it work. And that's what this book is about, isn't it?
Can I chip in? I'm not saying that I don't think any of us know how to intercede or can intercede, and it's always different each time. But when I think back to when I first started getting involved, I used to go to these prayer meetings, same one as Caroline went to, and there was like 100-odd people. So, but I think you went, and for a year, you never opened your mouth. You just sat and listened. And one thing that Lance Lambert does say in his books, prayer is caught, it's not taught. And I think the difference is you're saying about you've got a group of people, your little group of men, and you want to start them off interceding. And that's like what's happening here, which is hard. Whereas if we were with ones and we were in a group listening to people who are interceding and have been at it a long while, then you sort of get, it helps you more, I think, than actually starting with it, like you're mentioning, Nigel, with a little group who've never prayed together before. It's terribly difficult to get a group of oddbods like we are on this screen together, all different backgrounds, who haven't come together naturally to pray together. It's very difficult. I don't know what Caroline feels about that. I think you had the same experience, didn't you?
Oh, I was so intimidated when I first went to them. I didn't dare open my mouth. But I think, you know, corporate prayer sort of comes first somehow. It's learning how to listen to one another and flow on. And the sort of there's a certain sort of etiquette that you pick up in these prayer meetings, you know, so that people don't all talk over each other and they don't contradict one another, and you don't have a sort of, you know, argument in the guise of prayer, and, you know, and all this kind of thing. The little sort of rules of say etiquette, but that's corporate prayer. But I think, you know, intercession will follow those same sort of rules, but you're all listening. You've got to listen to what the Lord is saying, and you're praying as you're praying as one. So it's to sort of say you suddenly want to learn to corporate intercession. I think corporate prayer, there's an overlap. It's just that intercession then is a deeper, different kind of praying, but that's the corporate side of it that I think almost has to be learned, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Caroline.
I think it's a bit different as well, because we're on Zoom, and when you're in a physical meeting, you know, obviously you can see. I don't know, it's different. You can sense people more, and you can pray in tongues maybe a lot easier, or sing in tongues, or but the Lord knows that we're here on Zoom, and, you know, find a way still interceding, you know.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Thanks, Nigel, for that. We are very much, well, I'm certainly got my L plates on. I want to learn. That's all I can say. I want to learn to pray. And one thing I'm learning while I learn is the need to be so, it's the sensitivity, which for me is the key, to listen to what's being prayed. Because there's so many times when I've thought I've got something and then I was about to open my mouth, but I wasn't quite sure. And then something else comes in and it's like, no, I need to wait. Is that's kind of, no, I'm waiting and I might just be prepared to drop it. Let it go if I don't feel it's right as the shift flows. So it's that kind of, it requires, you know, humility is absolutely essential, I think, because it's so easy to try and ram something in.
Yeah.
Which you may think is right, but when we're listening to the Lord, you know, he is directing, and we just need to make sure that we don't wrestle that direction out of his hands. That's hard to sort of learn. You know, it's from experience. I'm learning anyway.
But Barry, you can have in a prayer meeting sometimes that, you know, that the Spirit is definitely leading to pray in a certain way. Somebody might come in and really cut right across that.
Yeah.
It can be really awkward. But then, you know, if there are others who are really are sensing the leading of the Spirit, they could just come in after that person's prayer and bring it back on track.
Yes.
And if others sort of, you know, say amen, you know, you kind of get that encouragement. And sometimes if you find, you know, the Lord's put a prayer in your heart and somebody else prays it, you think, oh, they prayed my prayer. But actually that doesn't matter, because it just actually reinforces that we are hearing from the Lord. So there's nothing wrong in praying the same thing again. It actually can encourage.
Yes. And I think it's wonderful when that happens, but there's no formula for it happening, is there? It is basically giving yourself to the Lord, to however he wants to lead, and being prepared to just rely on that. But of course our human self comes in and we feel we ought to be saying something, or we ought to answer to something, rather than just trusting. If we've come to the Lord and he wants to be with us much more than we want to be with him, and yet somehow we feel that we have to jump in rather than letting him lead it. But when you have a glimpse of how it can be, that is so wonderful. When, yes, you've just thought of something, somebody speaks what you've just thought, and it's a confirmation. And you may not have ever sort of shared that, but it's just, or you've had a particular verse and somebody has said that verse, and you just know that the Lord is in it. But it doesn't necessarily lead you then to say something. It's just resting in the Lord and thinking, and maybe you would carry that on in your own private prayer. It is this corporate private, but it's, and I suppose the more this happens within a group, then of course that's where the trust comes in. So you're not concerned about, do I need to speak? Do I not need to speak? I need to take part. I sat there, I didn't say anything. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But what is so frustrating is when you so want it to be the Lord's time and you feel that there's all these sorts of things coming in, taking it away, and you think, no, I've got to go on my own. I've got to go. I've got to get out of this, because, you know, it's been taken away. Almost, at this, you know, it's killed the spirit dead for that particular meeting. Am I making sense? I know what I mean, but
yes, and I've just
feel like gabbling on.
No, I would agree with that. And in fact, the book I've just finished reading of Lance is about Halford House. That was how they learned to pray. And in that book, he said that was, to him, that was a very key part, that you'd have two or three people praying the same thing. That's how they knew they were hearing from the Lord. And that's what we're saying when we're listening. Well, in particular, the person leading the prayer meeting is listening to the prayers and they're noticing the same prayers coming from two or three places. That's giving direction. And sometimes, I mean, you mentioned that sometimes it goes off at key and you've lost your point. But if you've had a burden to pray and you haven't been able to pray it, the same as somebody else has already prayed. It's always good to go to that person afterwards and say, I had the same thought as you, or I had the same scripture as you, but it wasn't appropriate and I couldn't say it. And we do need to encourage people. I mean, that's more when you're meeting together, but we do need to encourage people that, you know, otherwise you think, oh, did I pray that wrong? So we do need to encourage people on that note. But yes, we do need to.
Great.
Something else I would just say is that I have been to some, you know, prayer meetings that call themselves intercessors and whatnot, and actually all it is, it's a lot of shouting, demanding of God, stamping feet, wagging fingers and shouting, telling God what to do. I personally don't like that.
No.
Because one of the things when you look at the you know, I mean, part of the fact that we don't need to shout at God, he can hear us anyway. But that word for intercession, it implies, you know, coming to a superior, but it's a word used for coming, for approaching a king, you know, seeking his presence, hearing from God on behalf of others, but approaching him as a king. And, you know, you wouldn't go up to the king here and just, you know, start shouting and thinking, well, the louder I shout, the more I'll get my way, because that's not what we would do. So why do we do it with God? And yet people do. I tend to run a mile from it.
Yeah.
You can sometimes feel that your prayers become quite strong, but you still need to be approaching God as God, in my view.
Amen. That's great. I'm sure we could go on discussing for some time, and hopefully...
Can I just chip in with something else it's been on my mind ever since I picked up on that, I first spoke about hearing from God, begins to know the mind of God of any situation. I mean, often one of the big things within the church prayer meeting, oh, someone's mother's sick, we've got to pray for healing. But I think that might be within the church meeting, but in an intercessory prayer meeting, it's not necessary, oh, someone's sick, we've got to pray for healing. It's someone's sick, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you wanting to do? Because the Lord might want to work something out in the person who's sick, might work something out in the person's family. Or I can think of my own daughter being taken into hospital. It was to speak to the patient in the next bed. And I know myself, I went to hospital once, had 5 courses of antibiotics in 2 days, and they couldn't get my temperature down. And there was an incident, and then I spoke to the person in the next bed. My temperature was gone, I was better, and I was out, all in a couple of hours. So the Lord has purposes, for example, in taking people into hospital. And that's why it's always important to seek the Lord and see what he's wanted to do, what he's wanted to say, and not just presume everybody's got to be healed straight away and that kind of thing.
Thanks, Lynn. Yeah, that goes back to the point I think Christine was making at the start, is, you know, it's easy for us to think we know how to pray, but and our hearts are, you know, you can forgive people because their hearts want to see that person well, but intercessors are seeking God's will. So you're absolutely right. We have to use
healing as an example, because it's an easy example to give.
And suffering is another one, and any form of suffering can be, you know, our natural reaction is to pray that the suffering stops, when actually the will of God may be that person needs to endure and the glory comes to him. So but our hearts, you know, it's this is why we have to have grace for one another, because if someone's heart, you know, is, well, if they're not thinking and they just want to, you know, pray for that person to be well, you can forgive them, but yes, it's not necessarily intercession.
Can I say something, Barry? Sorry.
Please.
Again, some prayer meetings that I go to, I find that there's a lot of praying against things. They're wanting all the time to push back, you know, some of these awful things that are going on around us. I'm not always comfortable with that because, in my view, that if we are under judgment in this nation, and God is allowing, you know, God is actually judging us, and some of these things are His judgment. We need to be careful not to be praying against His purposes. Mm. I think it's a difficult one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, in all things, it's so easy for us to think we. You know, as you say, God is being, when judgment comes, God is being faithful to His own word. So, you know, you know, it's not that God's only faithful when good things happen. You know, when things are happening, God is always faithful, and He's promised to do things whenever we trust Him, and He's promised to do things when for those who don't trust Him. And you know, He's always going to be faithful to His word. So yes, there's no point of us praying that He won't be faithful to His word, because that's not going to happen. But it's so easy for us, you know, to do that. That's why we must trust Him and lean not on our own understanding, because it's so easy for us just to ply in with good intentions. But we must just listen and ask the Lord and seek Him. And Scripture is so useful in this regard. Scripture is so useful. So tonight, I want to put some of this into practice. What I want to do is I want to lay it open. I want to see if anyone has anything on their heart to pray for. As last time, if there's something you want to share, but want the recording to stop or to be paused or whatever, so that it's not recorded, then no problem, we can do that. But I want to just give us a few moments. I don't want to rush in. So just take a few moments, and just as we just sit here together, you don't need to turn your screens off or anything. Just have a think. Is there anything on your heart? I would like just maybe one thing for us to focus on, that we can then take to the Lord and ask Him how we're going to pray into that thing. And then we will proceed from there. So, Nigel.
I would like to pray for homes for people who are being evicted from the hotel, because, and it's happening all around the country, when people are awarded refugee status, they were being given 28 days notice before being evicted, during which time they had to find a job and a home. That's now being changed to 7 days. They're being given 7 days. These are people who have been not allowed to work for however long the Home Office has taken to process their claim, sometimes a year, sometimes longer. It's just shocking the way we're treating people. And local authorities don't have housing to offer them. So people are being made homeless. This is how it's happening in our area. And so we're trying to find an appropriate response as the body of Christ, but it's all come as quite a shock to us. So I don't know if that is an appropriate thing for us to pray about.
No, I don't think so. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, very serious, and something we really need to pray for. Very apt. So let's just spend a few moments in silence. Let's not rush into this. Just let's seek the Lord's will and how to pray for this. Because again, this is something which I'm sure could stir up a few emotions. And we want to make sure we're not praying emotionally, but praying as the Lord, the Lord's heart. We know the Lord has a heart for those in desperate need. So we know this is close to the Lord's heart. So let's seek His heart now for a few moments. And it would be good, I don't want to make it a rule, but it'd be good for whoever feels led to lead off on this, if they had some scripture reference to base this on, that would be wonderful. But I don't want to make that the rule. So let's just spend some time. Just let's not rush in to speak. Let's have silence. And then as you're led, please have the confidence to start praying. And let us all be sensitive. Let us be trusting. This is one of the keys for me, trusting God to speak to us for the rest of our prayer time, that he will be speaking and beyond, that he'll be speaking to us and leading us. And let us be sensitive to one another. And let us pray God's heart and will for this situation.
Oh, Father, I just want to say I'm so sorry for the way that we are treating some of the people that come into this country. Oh, Lord. Just show us your will in this, Lord. It seems to be such a hardening of hearts towards those that are suffering and have suffered. And I know that say, well, you know, our own people haven't got, but we are so wealthy compared to some others. And we know that there are those that perhaps come in and take an advantage, but Lord, help us to see these people with your eyes, Lord, to have mercy and compassion. Oh, Father, speak to those in positions in our government that make these rules, Lord. We seem to have become so hard and so unmerciful and not thinking about the people involved. It's just in numbers of people. But Lord, we can make room for those that you bring. Father, we need your wisdom. We need your compassion. Just pray for those in our government that are trying to appease numbers that they said, and they're losing sight of the individual. So Lord, just help us to see. I'm so sorry, Lord. Forgive us for what we are doing and show us the way. Lord, start with your people in the churches. Show us what we can do, Lord. We know it's your way to be merciful, to be hospitable, to offer hospitality and to consider sort of just chucking people out on the street, having kept them waiting for so long to find out what's going to happen to them. So, Lord, oh, just soften our hearts, I pray, so that we reach out. And we truly are a welcoming society for those that are suffering. Lord, help us, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Father, it's such a difficult situation. Lord, we see our government pulled this way and that way, housing needs for many people, more people coming in who need housing and all of these things. But Father, we do pray and ask that our government will, Lord, we're just grieved. We're so sorry that a government has quickly changed the rules. We don't know how long notice people were given from going from 28 to 27 days. But Father, you've heard the case Nigel put forward, that these people have not been able to work. They've got no references, no home, no money in these cases. Father, it's not morally right to just throw them out in the street. And we're grieved that it's happened to them. And we're asking, Father, that you can open the hearts of compassion of those in government, those who are able to help them. Father, we just look at Deuteronomy 24, and I can't remember the exact verse, but you speak, Father, you said in that portion you're talking about the poor and needy, of not going over the trees to glean them a second time, of not going over our fields again a second time, not beating out the olive trees, Father, of remembering the strangers, the fatherless and the widows. Father, and you keep reminding your children of Israel that you were a slave in Egypt, in the land of Egypt, and therefore you should have compassion on others. So, Father, help us to have compassion on the poor and needy that have come to our land, particularly remember, Father, when we look back and we remember years ago, we sent all our people, went abroad, we left these shores for a better life. We went off to America or Australia or New Zealand or wherever we went, Lord God. So, Father, help us to realise that we, your church and this nation, should welcome people in who are doing exactly what we did. So, Father, we do pray and ask that you will give the government wisdom on these matters, that you will find solutions for these housing problems, for what they're going to live on until they're able to earn a living and get a skill, Father. Amen.
So that you know if it's affecting your prayers, this lady has gone home. But he's no longer with us.
Where is he living, Nigel?
He's in a hotel for another couple of days.
Then he's got nowhere to go?
No.
Oh, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Jesus Christ, said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man. And so Jesus himself knows, but he trusted you. And Father, I pray for all of these dear refugees, Lord, coming from all over the world, Lord, that they first and foremost would come to know Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray, what an opportunity for the church to open its doors. What an opportunity to lay down its life, to open its doors,
yeah,
and to serve and to show the love of Christ to these dear folks. Lord, thank you for those churches that are doing this. I pray for more of your body in this nation to rise up and, Lord, to do whatever it takes. Father, we've prayed, or we've talked this evening about intercessors giving their whole selves. And Father, we pray for men and women in your church who will give themselves entirely to these people.
Mm.
That Christ may be seen. Lord, that they would see Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, that won't be easy. It will come at much cost. But Father, would you strengthen your church by your grace, by your Spirit, and empower them, Lord, and give them resources, and give them strength, and give them everything they need, Lord, to minister and to serve these folks, Lord. And if that means opening their own doors, houses, churches, whatever it may be, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, may we do so. And may we do it in the name of Jesus Christ, for his glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, it was said of you that you had nowhere to lay your head. So, Lord, you know all about not having a home or a stable place. Thank you, Lord, that you have a heart of compassion. And, Lord, I just pray for more compassion in the hearts of people in this nation. I pray especially for believers, for a sensitivity of your spirit to reach out that those are really in need and to have wisdom, Lord. Perhaps, you know, some of them might not have good intentions, but Lord, to have wisdom for those that are really suffering. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, I was thinking about the Samaritan on the road and those that walked by and then the one that stopped. Lord, just show each one of us what part we can play.
Yes, Lord.
For some, it'll be remembering to bring these refugees before you. For others, it might be financial help. For others, it might be a room in their home, whatever, Lord. Oh, stir, as it has been prayed, stir up compassion in our hearts. We listen to the news and it's numbers, it's not people. And with Nigel bringing that young man tonight, then it puts a face to one of the numbers. And to think that in a few days he's going to be out of the hotel. Oh, Lord, have mercy, have compassion, I pray. Show us what you want us to do.
Yes.
Oh Lord, there is so much suffering. Have mercy, Lord, I pray. Amen.
I'm reminded of Job prayed in his suffering. He said, "The alien has not lodged outside, for I have opened my doors to the traveler." And Father, we thank you. Father, what a show of hospitality when we open our doors to the outsider, whether it's someone from a different country, whether it's someone who has been rejected all of their lives, who've never had a family, who've never felt a sense of belonging, whoever it may be, Father, Lord, you have opened up your family to us. Lord, we are adopted as your sons. Oh, Father, we praise you that you have brought us into your family. Father, may we, Lord, be willing. Give us that compassion that we've prayed for, Lord, compassion And that living sacrifice that we've spoken about today, to lay down our lives, that we would open our doors to those who need, who have needs, Lord, that we can demonstrate through our simple actions, Lord, that they would see our good deeds and yet glorify our Father in heaven. Lord, it's for your glory. Oh, Father. Lord Jesus, may we be willing. Open our doors to the traveler.
We pray our hearts will be prepared to give at the right moment, because it is at an instant when we're being asked for these things very often. And sometimes we need to have that opportunity of responding in the way that we would want over time, straight away, without hardly a thought, as a reflex. And so, Lord, I do pray, Lord, that when that is happening, Lord, that you would show us, that you would give us the opportunity of fulfilling what you would have us do. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Lord, help us to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world and the world's thinking, because your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and your ways. And you have a real heart for those in distress. And Lord, we need to have more of your heart. And we're sorry, Lord.
Yeah.
We're sorry for our selfish hearts. We're sorry for being distracted by the world and the things of the world, dear Lord. Please help us to have your heart in these days, and increasingly to have your heart, Lord, as the days get darker. Amen.
And Lord, forgive us for feeling helpless and hopeless, because you are Lord, you are in control, and you can move mountains and you can change people's hearts, Lord.
Yes.
We trust you, Lord, and we ask you to do something in this situation. You can see the whole picture, Lord. But you are a God of mercy. You are a God of strength. You are King of kings, Lords of lords. We are not helpless and hopeless. Okay. So, Lord, just give us insight and know what we can do. But, Lord, you can change the hearts of those of our government. You can change the way they think. So, Lord, have your way. It can't be your way that people should suffer like this. And through compassion and love, those that perhaps come from different background may get to know you as a God of love. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us. Amen.
Amen.
You're muted, Caroline.
Oh. I've got a scripture on my heart, but I don't know where it is. But God, well, hates injustice. He hates unjust laws. Mm-hmm. But I can't think where that is, so I was trying to get the rest of it. Really on my heart was just to pray, well, Father, Lord, you hate injustice. Lord, you see all that is going on. Lord, you are the father of the fatherless. Lord, and you are the husband to the widows.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you are the one who's able to provide all things. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees the need and is able to see to it. And so, Lord, we do look to you and ask you, Father, please, Lord, that you would intervene in this and that you would act. Lord, your word tells us to pray for those in authority that life might be good and is a lead a tranquil and quiet life. Lord, we just pray for those in authority, those in the government, Lord, that you'd open eyes, Lord, that you would see what is really going on here. It just seems there's such distraction with all the focus on illegal immigrants, Lord, that the ones who are here who have every right to be here, Lord, are being neglected and overlooked. Mm. Lord, they're being cast aside, and we pray, Father, that you would intervene, Lord, that you would do something here. Lord, that you would bring about justice. Lord, that you would bring about right legislation. Lord, that you would enable these people to work. Lord, I know so many want to work, Lord, and that the law won't let them.
Mm.
Oh, God, we have just made such a situation here in this nation, Lord, with people who have skill, people who want to work, and they can't. So they can't live, they can't eat. Oh, God, we cry to you, Lord, that you will bring something, Lord, that would bring good out of this. Lord, please, Lord, touch hearts, open eyes, touch minds. Bring about some change, Father, we pray, Lord. Lord, touch our hearts. Father, it's just on my heart too. We come into this world with nothing and we leave with nothing.
Mm.
Oh, God, help us to be better stewards of what we have. Yeah. Lord, touch our hearts that we might be generous, Lord, to give as you give to us abundance. Lord, you're no man's debtor. Lord God, we cry to you. Please, Lord, bring about change in our hearts. Stir up your people, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. I was challenged this morning by the widow's mite.
Mm.
And that it's how much you give of what you have. Similar to our intercession prayer that we might give our whole selves. So, Lord, I keep praying. I thank you, Lord, for your scripture, for your revelation about the poor and those outside our gate and the widow, the fatherless, and so on. Lord, we do need your help, Lord, as we desire your leading in our life. Lord, that we would give ourselves in prayer and in substance, Lord, in the way that pleases. So, God, we do pray for wisdom, but also that push to act. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that you left the 99 and you went after the one sheep. Lord, that you care for the individual, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank you that you care for all of your children, Lord, on this earth, that you know them. You knew them when they were in their mother's womb. And I just pray, Lord, that in the, you know, each one and how desperate they are and their situations, their unique situations, Lord. And Lord, we do pray that for your Holy Spirit to comfort them, but also for a real desire to know you, Lord, to call out to you, Lord, in their distress. Thank you that you know them, Lord, each one by name. Amen.
Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father, you protect the strangers. That is your word. Lord, you support the fatherless and the widow, and you reign forever. And so, Father, we give this whole situation to you. We trust you to keep your word.
Yes.
And Father, may your name be glorified to the very ends of this earth. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Right, folks. This is a hard job, bringing these prayer meetings to an end. But I trust it's not the end of our prayers. I trust we will go. And thank you, Nigel, for...
What's likely to happen to him, Nigel? I mean, do you know him through your church? Is he getting support from the church? Or...
Sorry, I'm muted. Sarah's church is the one where he's been worshipping.
Yeah.
And he's become a friend of ours. And basically the pastor and I don't go to the church, but the pastor and I basically, interestingly, we both said exactly the same thing to Sarah within about an hour. We both said, we're not going to have them being made homeless. We'll just buy a bunch of mattresses and put them in up downstairs and, you know, give them somewhere to live rather than them walking, you know, sleeping on the streets.
Is there any way we could pay for to stay in the hotel or anything? I mean, would money be useful?
The hotel is not, it's been bought out exclusively by the Home Office. So thank you, that's kind. There's only one hotel in Thatcham, and that's I don't know. I hadn't thought of hotel accommodation.
It's only a temporary thing, isn't it? I was just thinking about the Samaritan, really.
Yes. I mean, what we're trying to learn on the hoof. Sarah has decided that she is going to, because she's in between jobs, and she has decided that she's going to take on this role of coordinating this ministry within the Baptist church where she goes. So she and the pastor's wife are heading up the ministry to these asylum seekers and refugees. And she has written a letter to everyone in the church to say, would you be willing to offer accommodation on an emergency basis? And sadly, almost nobody has said yes in the church. But, you know, it only went out on Sunday, so it takes people time. People are very private. It's quite a big ask, but it's a big need. So,
yeah. You know.
We will, both David, the pastor, and Sarah and I will make sure they're not on the streets. But on the other hand, I'm extremely unwell, and it's a very short-term solution. They will need to find proper accommodation. It's a very short-term kind of emergency sort of solution.
How many are there, Nigel?
Well, thankfully it's happening in dribs and drabs, but there are about 30 who are in the church, have been in the church for quite a long time. There are about 200 in the hotel.
Mm.
So it's a huge evangelistic opportunity.
Mm.
And there are hundreds of thousands across the country.
Mm.
And there are no, you know, local authorities do not have any accommodation for the men. There will be hostels, homeless hostels. There's one homeless hostel in Newbury, which they are prioritizing people who have extreme vulnerability. The homeless hostel that has occasional spaces is offered to people who earn a lot of points, vulnerability points, which generally means single women and people with mental illness and drug addicts. And so it's a very dangerous place, surrounded by dangerous people.
Mm.
And yeah, it's a tragic situation. And basically, the men don't have a chance. They won't be offered places there because they're not vulnerable enough. So the men will not get offered anything. They will be on the streets. Something and the thing that... is, they won't get any benefits. There's no, you know, they can apply for benefits, but it's awarded many weeks in arrears. So they will have no money, no food, no home.
Lord. Something that was coming to my mind as we were praying was that those in the church particularly who have had sons who've gone off to university or about to and have a spare room, their hearts would be open to take in another young man temporarily.
One would hope that yeah. they would. But apparently in the Baptist church, nobody... in this particular church, nobody has been willing to, historically, to put anybody else up. When visiting people have come, there's only been one family who ever put up visiting preachers, or when youth evangelists have come with teams, they've all had to stay in this one house. And they've often said, look, can anybody put someone up? And no one has volunteered. So it's a very insular area, apparently. So it's just one of those areas. So, you know, they're asking again. And hopefully the fact that these guys and women have been in the church for a year and a half, so they've made friends, they're in home groups, you know, people's hearts will have warmed to them, and they will What Sarah's done, she's done a very good thing. There are charities who set up contracts, housing contracts, temporary emergency situations, which involve no money. And she's borrowed their contract and she's writing short-term emergency contracts for people to put it on a kind of slightly semi-formal basis. And she's also written to this letter to churches to say, okay, you may not be able to offer a bed, but would you be able to offer a meal or English, help with English or whatever? So, let's break it down. If you can't have someone to stay, perhaps you could just offer a bed, but no meals. Let's break it down into smaller segments. Just to see if people can offer something. But if nobody's going to offer anything, then... Oh, and that's the other thing is the pastor of the church has applied for the church insurance to be changed so that people can be accommodated in the church building.
Oh, good, good.
Thank you, Nigel, for sharing that. That gives us a bit more fuel, I think, for our prayers. I'm so sorry, I do have to dash. I've got family members here who need my attention. But thank you, Nigel. I really appreciate you.